Good morning. Welcome to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores, Yukon Sound Alternative. This broadcast is in collaboration with the Yukon newspaper, the Daily Campus, and Yukon student-run TV station UCTV. I'm your host, Shira Tal, and here's the news from the University of Connecticut from this week. The former Mansfield town manager resigned last July due to allegations of racism in a hostile work environment. Daily Campus staff writer Luke Hydash reports that complaints about Derek Kennedy were raised by several department heads within the town of Mansfield. Many of them also involved assistant town manager Joshua Putnam, whom Kennedy had previously worked with. The two of them often made sexist and racist comments, one from Kennedy being, quote, "I hate black people." The town council went into executive session to discuss the letter and then on July 17th held a special meeting to accept Kennedy's resignation. Kennedy also sent a letter to Mayor Paul Shapiro stating that the contents of the letter were untrue. UConn President Thomas Katzelaeus introduced Connecticut Commitment, which will allow Connecticut residents who come from households that make less than $50,000 annually to go to UConn for free. Daily Campus staff writer Ashley Anglisano writes the announcement came during his inauguration last Friday. A press release with further information about the program says for students who come into the university with privately awarded scholarships and other aid that must be used on tuition, the Connecticut Commitment Award will be used to cover remaining amounts of tuition, fees, room and board, books, and other related educational costs as long as the need is defined by the student's free application for federal student aid. UConn's Friday for Future chapter, who organized the climate strike on September 20th, staged its first sit-in in Gully Hall last Friday. Daily Campus correspondent Nick Carbone reports that the purpose of the sit-in was to pressure university officials to adequately address the climate crisis. The sit-in was organized after President Katzelaeus' response to the demands of the strikers, in which he committed the university to a 45% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. Katzelaeus also revealed plans to create a centralized working group focused on environmental sustainability. Fridays for Future praised Katzelaeus' response, but still believe it to be inadequate, stating in a press release that his commitments did not provide enough detail to be satisfying. The group also said several of its demands went unanswered, which is why they decided to stage the sit-in. The demonstrators met little pushback from authorities, but mentioned the group was relocated at one point. The Rainbow Center put out a new poster series that hopes to inform and educate the UConn community about how to properly use and ask for someone's pronouns. WHUS correspondent Jarani Rangthale has the story.
University of Connecticut's Rainbow Center has recently put out a series of posters that informs people how to respectfully use gender-neutral pronouns, how to ask someone for their pronouns, and how to apologize if someone does not use another person's correct pronouns. Rainbow Center coordinator Julia Anderson said the decision to create the pronouns poster series came from a faculty senate meeting. The diversity committee was looking for a way to get information out to faculty about what gender pronouns are and what people should know. The center then developed the first poster of the series, and then the last two followed as supplements.
The posters themselves are helpful because they're a public education experience. People can walk up and interact with them and learn more information without spending time at a program or in a session. I also think that despite the fact that many people on our campus might not use he or she pronouns, folks who don't use those pronouns sometimes run into difficulties with people who might not know enough about pronouns to appropriately use their pronouns, or they might have a lot of questions or concerns. Yeah. And so in an effort to prevent those questions or concerns going directly to the folks who don't use he or she pronouns, being able to inform people on a larger level can be helpful.
Anderson said there's been a strong positive response to these posters from faculty and staff. Many offices on campuses, including Res Life, are looking for printed versions of the posters in order to better inform their residents. For those who grew up in a climate where using gender-neutral language is not discussed, Anderson emphasized the importance of asking people their pronouns. Anderson also said the poster that answers, "What if I mess up someone's pronouns?" is also important to understand, as many people are fearful when they are first interacting with pronouns that they might have not heard of before. Their initial response is almost defensiveness, or they give excuses for not being informed when they mess up.
I think that it's important for us to take personal responsibility for our own actions and to be willing to apologize if we mess things up, but to make a commitment to honor one another's identities.
Anderson also said that in order to respectfully ask someone their pronouns, remember to share your own pronouns when asking for someone else's. Otherwise, you know information about them that they don't know about you. Anderson said it's okay to ask for someone's pronouns rather than assume and then have to be corrected.
And to also just know that we are going to mess it up. We're flawed humans, and yeah, we lived in a society that's ruled by the gender binary. So while that's not an excuse, we also have to make a commitment to being willing to apologize and to remedying our behavior. Mm. Pronouns don't fall within a binary, so it's not all he and she pronouns. That any person can pick any pronoun for any reason. That everyone has a responsibility to know about pronouns, not just people who would theoretically need to explain their pronouns to other people. We all have like a responsibility to make this campus a better place and to learn more about one another and to remain informed. And so I think the existence of the posters altogether shows that everyone has something that they can learn on this subject, and we can all do better and do more to be more inclusive.
Anderson said the Rainbow Center still has printed copies of the posters for faculty and staff to pick up for their offices and hopes people will reach out. The Rainbow Center is open from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. from Monday to Friday. For WHU US News, this is Durrani Ringthale.
Now here's the latest in sports. On Saturday, October 5th, UConn football lost to the University of Southern Florida with a final score of 22-48. Quarterback Mike Beaudry, back as a starter, threw for 209 yards, including his first touchdown pass of the season. Junior running back Kevin Mensah gained 70 hard-earned yards on 21 carries and scored two touchdowns against the Bulls, becoming the ninth player in UConn history to rush for more than 2,000 career yards. Women's ice hockey won both of their games against Long Island University, completing a clean sweep for their first series on the road. Number 3 field hockey defeated Temple with a final score of 5-0 last Friday. Junior Jessica Dombrowski scored twice, with sophomore Abby Gooderham and freshman Sophie Hamilton having each three assists. Cross country competed in the Paul Short Invitational hosted by Lehigh University last weekend. Men's cross country came in 29th, while women's cross country came in 24th. Women's soccer had its first American Athletic Conference victory of the season yesterday with a 2-1 overtime victory against the Houston Cougars at Dillon Stadium. Men's hockey will be playing their home opener game tonight at 7:05 against Army at the Excel Center, and volleyball will be playing in Gamble against Cincinnati at 7 p.m. tonight as well. Finally, UConn men's soccer lost on Tuesday against Providence with a final score of 2-1. Here's a recap from WHUS announcer John Tewitt and former assistant men's soccer coach Kevin Batcher calling the only UConn goal of the game.
It's like the wind picking up just slightly, and it would be in UConn's favor here in the second half.
Yep.
And it could be just enough that a looping, lazy corner kick could be impacted by the wind. Might have had a small part to do with Catalano on the
dangerous ball. Goal!
And a score! Beautiful score by Lappert to tie the game at 49-24.
That was a great bent ball into the near post over the first defender for Providence. And Lappert did a good job of getting his head on the end of that. It's pretty interesting. Both goals have come from our side here, John, on corner kicks.
So, Fekri to Lappert to tie the game. Second goal of the year for Robin.
Yeah, I think UConn's mentality coming out of the locker room, like I said before, is making it difficult for them to play, and they get rewarded here.
And now, here's the weekend weather forecast. Today, a chance of rain, mainly between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Chance of precipitation is 30%. Tonight, a slight chance of rain before 9 p.m. Cloudy with a low around 48. North wind 11 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation, 20%. Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high near 60. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 46. Light and variable wind. On Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 64. Slight chance of shower Sunday night with a low around 46. That's all the news we have for this week. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll be talking with our guest, Madison Busick, editor-in-chief of Nutmeg Publishing.
October 13th marks the 50th anniversary of the opening of Leamy Hall. To celebrate, the United States Coast Guard Band is presenting a free concert in tribute to Admiral Frank A. Leamy, featuring renowned soloists Joseph DeLeo and Megan Wyklingit. The concert starts at 2 p.m. on the 13th and will be held at Leamy Hall, which is located at 15 Mohegan Avenue in New London, Connecticut. To enter the Coast Guard Academy, drivers are required to present a valid photo ID. For more on the Coast Guard Band, visit uscg.mil/band or call the concert information line at 860-701-6826. This event is free and open to the public. You're listening to 91.7 WHUS Stores.
And we are back from that short break. We will now be moving into the talk portion of our show. Please note that the views and opinions expressed on WHUS from this point forward are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. Today, I am sitting here with Nutmeg Publishing Editor-in-Chief Madison Busick. Maddie, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Shira.
So what's going on in the world of Nutmeg? How do you feel like you're, you know, we're now about like halfway through the semester. How do you feel like you're fitting into the role?
So I think it's going pretty well. We, in past years, because of some circumstances that were beyond the staff's control, we had a lot of delays in the yearbooks getting published. But this summer we were able to get caught up. So now the 2018 book just came out, and the 2019 book is in printing, which is really exciting.
That is super exciting. Do you know expected time?
Probably around December, but we're not totally sure. But keep an eye on our social media and we'll be posting updates on that.
That's awesome. How do you guys, I guess, like, how do you manage to go from printing or not having printed, I guess, the 2017, 2018, 2019 book to now only having one book, just the 2021? How do you guys handle that?
So I think that one of the challenges we have is that our staff graduates every year. Like mm-hmm. our executive board, usually we lose some members. So you lose some of the people who have an idea of what should be going on in those books. So it took a lot of having the upcoming boards just work really hard, delegating different pages to the new people, a lot of organization to make sure they're using the right style guides for the right books. And then in the past years, people didn't really do a ton of work over the summer. And this year, we did a lot more work over the summer to make sure that everything got done. Honestly, we were just really motivated because we've seen in the past how hard it is to try and publish multiple books at once, and we didn't want to have to do that again. So it was worth it, I think.
Yeah, I would definitely say like that's amazing to be able to have only one book, having worked on so many in the past. And you actually held the photo editor role at once, and you were a photographer when you first started. How did you get involved with Nutmeg now, almost on your fourth year, or I guess incoming fourth year?
Yeah, so I did yearbook in high school. I really enjoyed it. That's part of what made me want to go into the world of like marketing or graphic design, something creative. And I was the editor-in-chief there, actually. And then one of our previous editor-in-chiefs from my high school yearbook ended up here at UConn, and she was the magazine editor for Nutmeg. So when I started here, I saw her post on social media that they were hiring. I sent over my portfolio and got a job as a freelance photographer. I really loved doing that for the 2 years. It's a great way to make extra money. You get to get involved in different events. I got to see a lot of things that I don't think I would have gone to on my own. And it helps me like build my own portfolio too. And then I just enjoyed the organization so much that I wanted to be more involved. So my junior year, I moved up to photo editor, which was really fun. I got to be in charge of the photo staff. And because I had been a photographer for 2 years, I feel like it was a pretty good fit. I could give them good advice. And I found that I actually like editing pictures more than I liked going to events and taking them too. And then from there, I studied abroad for a semester. And then I came back and they were looking for a new editor-in-chief. There weren't a lot of people who had been in the organization for a while, and that's a good thing to have, I guess, when you're taking over the organization.
Yeah, I would say so.
So I sent in my application actually for the magazine editor position, and our previous editor-in-chief said that she thought I'd be a really good fit for the EIC position instead, and I just said yes.
Here we are.
Here we are.
That's awesome. What was your favorite event to cover as a photographer?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I really liked doing lip sync my freshman
that's a good
year.
One.
I don't know. Yeah, there were a lot of really cool things to cover. Yeah, lip sync was fun because
I feel like in general there's like you always get good pictures from events, and I think I don't know. I think it's definitely, I would say lip sync's more dynamic. Like you have some speakers I know that go into the yearbook, and I feel like, you know, like you can only look at so many pictures of someone like standing behind a podium, but I feel like lip sync, Asian night, like homecoming, like the parade and stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. Those are so much fun. How do students get a yearbook, or how do you decide what, ask you first, how do you decide what events go into the yearbook?
So that's kind of a discussion that we have as a whole board. There's some events that are pretty traditional that we do every year, like homecoming. We cover different sports, stuff like that. And then based on what's going on that year and what the yearbook managing editor is interested in, what our staff is involved in and interested in, we try and fill in the rest of the book with smaller events like that. Like, for example, this year we have our new president. So that's taking up a page that like might not have happened in the past. Things like that, different speakers coming to campus, whatever we find to be interesting and something that we think people would want to look back on in the future.
That's cool. And then, yeah, my next question is, how do students actually get the yearbook? I feel like a lot of times people just are like, oh, we have a yearbook. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anybody can get a yearbook. They're available for purchase if you are an underclassman. And then everybody from the store's campus who graduates, has been paying student fees, gets one automatically sent to them once it's published after they graduate. So basically it's sent out to whatever your address is in student admin as your permanent address. So if there's any people coming up as graduates, please make sure you update your permanent address.
Graduates,
there.
You heard it first.
Yep.
Update your address.
Definitely do that. And then we send off a list to our publisher, and they mail them right out to you. So it doesn't even go through us. It's sent as soon as possible to our graduates.
Very cool. And I think another part of the like Nutmeg Publishing aspect that people probably aren't as aware of is the magazine. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little about that? Like, how do you guys either pick like what goes into the magazine, or how do you work on that? When do they come out? Just a little bit of an overview.
So our magazine was founded in 2015, so it's a little bit newer than our yearbook that started in 1914. but it's free and online. It's free online for everybody to read. We usually do one per semester. It sometimes varies based on what else we're doing in the organization. Like in past years, when we were publishing three yearbooks at once, there was only one magazine for that year. And that's really up to the magazine managing editor, like their creative vision. They talk with the rest of the staff and the board and usually pick a theme. Last semester there was a tier 3 magazine that you might have seen. It's been printed out a couple times, and that one featured all of our other tier 3s on campus. We are a tier 3 at Nutmeg, so we like to collaborate with the other tier 3s. And then this semester we're doing a health and wellness magazine, which we're really excited about. Features on the new rec center, different things that are available to students on campus as far as health and wellness goes, sunset yoga, things like that. So yeah, usually we pick a theme, find things that are a little bit interesting to us and that we might not necessarily be able to fit into the yearbook. It gives us some more creative freedom, and it gives our staff more opportunities to go cover events, do some fun design work, do some fun writing, stuff like that.
Cool. What do you think is the biggest misconception about Nutmeg Publishing, either about the yearbook, magazine, all of that? What do you think?
Well, I think that a lot of people don't know that they get their yearbook for free when they graduate. I think that's something really unique to our organization, to UConn itself. Like, a lot of schools don't do that.
I remember in like high school having to like ask my parents for money, and it's like so awkward to be like, so can I have like $70 for a yearbook or whatever, however much it costs?
And even though it is included in your student fees, like, we only get $3 a semester, which doesn't even cover like the cost of a book for a student necessarily, so you're really getting a good deal.
If anything,
people,
like, you're making money.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of people just honestly don't even know we exist. but I think that it's a really cool organization on campus to get involved in if anyone's interested in publishing in creative fields, because we are a smaller organization, so you get more one-on-one time with the different executive members or the editors, and you get a lot of chances to go cover events. So yeah.
And just to clarify, you don't have to be a DMD or English student to participate in either like the design writing aspect.
Yeah, you can be in any major. Our current photo editor is an engineering major. We have people all over the board. I'm a DMD major, but I was not a designer, like things like that. So yeah, as long as you have the skill set and are interested and passionate about what you do, we're happy to have you. We do hire every semester. So again, keep an eye on our social media for posts about that. Yeah, we also offer credit options if you are interested in getting credit.
That's cool. So anyone looking for an internship?
Yeah, you can get internship credit with
us. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. What do you think sets this year's executive board apart? I know you talked a little bit about like having passion and, you know, seeing like the work from previous boards and stuff like that, and you know, kind of wanting to finish that up and like tie any loose ends together. So what do you think sets everyone apart?
I think one thing about our board this year is that it's generally younger than in past years. We have a lot of sophomores on the board, and in past years it's always been like pretty much exclusively seniors, and I think that's really interesting because they haven't necessarily been in Nutmeg for the like 3 or 4 years and like have everything set in stone of how we need to run things. So there's a lot more flexibility and like creative ideas that are coming out, and I think those are really interesting in helping us grow as an organization. Also, because we don't have to publish 3 books at once, we have a lot more freedom to do other things. Like for example, this week we're doing National Yearbook Week tabling. We just have more freedom. We're doing the two magazines instead of one. So I think, yeah, everyone's bringing really creative ideas to the table, and I think that's really helping us to grow as an org.
That's awesome. It's nice to see students like in leadership positions starting at a young age, and then hopefully, you know, making their way up to EIC and taking over the reins one day. What are you most excited for this year in the position?
What am I most excited for? Well, one thing I was really excited for was being able to hire people and pick out my staff, basically. And I think that really went really well. We have some really talented people in our org this year, and we had so many amazing, talented people apply. It was so hard to pick people, but I think that was really exciting for me, and we're going to be doing it again next semester. I'm also excited to kind of bring back the magazine, have more than one magazine this semester, and they're a little bit longer than in previous years. I think we're covering more events, so that's really exciting. And then just getting Nutmeg's name out there a little bit more, also exciting for me.
Yeah, definitely. I think every tier three has like a kind of, you know, that visibility issue. You know, a lot of people don't realize like WHUS, I can't speak, is in the student union, like on the fourth floor.
Yeah.
You know, like Nutmeg, like you said, most people don't even realize that there is a yearbook. Yeah. I know sometimes people get like SUBOG and USG confused. Yeah. So I think that's definitely something to like keep working on. And, you know, that's awesome that you guys can dedicate more time now that you have that time.
Yeah.
And what are your hopes for Nutmeg in the future? Like, what do you want to look back and say, like, this was my legacy, like, as EIC? It's kind of like big picture question.
Oh, man. I don't know. I think.
Yeah, take your time.
I think just making sure that everything is really organized and that we have like set policies in place. As boring as that sounds, I think that that's helpful for future years, because I know coming in there's a lot of things that I had no idea how to do, how they should be done, like how to be fair to our staff and to our constituents. So I think that if we can really make sure that all of the practices that we go through on a daily basis are more concrete and more clear to everybody, I think that would be really helpful. I know this year we've been working on like staff handbooks so that everybody's on the same page and that everyone has the information that they need. And again, even though it's kind of boring, I think that's like kind of the foundation that we need to build the org off of is having everyone.
I feel like this year has really been like a rebuilding year for Nutmeg, kind of like starting from the ground, you know, like push the yearbooks aside, got all those done. So now we can really have time to like focus on like inner structure and like politics of the organization, which I think are important for any organization, but especially one that, you know, people, like you said, may not be as aware of or stuff like that. And it's good to have younger input and feedback and stuff like that.
Yeah, we've been trying to work on like the culture of the org too, making sure that people are actually talking to each other, people know each other outside of just like, oh, that person's a writer, you know, stuff like that. Because it's when we were working so hard on those books, like that whole like social aspect of being in a tier three was kind of pushed by the wayside, you know.
Yeah,
so
definitely like the like narrow mind of like, I just need to get this done, it.
Yeah, I need to write my story, submit it, and be done. Yeah, stuff like that.
That's awesome. And then I know, you know, we're on WHUS and I know you like music. So what are you listening to right now?
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to see Coin on Friday.
That's exciting.
In Northampton. Yeah. So I've been listening to them a lot. I'm really excited because they're releasing new music on the tour. So
that's so cool.
Hopefully coming out with a new album soon.
I feel like it's always, I don't know, hit or miss for like bands to release new music. I like it. I don't mind it. But then there's always people who are like, well, I don't know the songs. So like, just play the songs I know. Yeah. And like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's cool though. Mm-hmm. Any other fun plans for the weekend?
I might be going back home for a day too.
Nice. See my Shout out to the parents.
Yeah.
Are they listening? I don't know. Probably won't be listening to this, but maybe. Maybe not. Tell them to listen after. Yeah. Is there anything else like you want to wrap it up, that you want to say before we wrap it up? Shout out, anything like that?
Drop by our office, Student Union 212. On Wednesdays from 1 to 2 is our office hours, and we'd love to meet you. Come say hi and learn about Nutmeg.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much, Maddie, for talking with me, and thank you for listening to our show. Thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I'm your host, Shira Tall, and you are listening to 91.7 WHUS Stores.